In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. I'd like to meditate with you today on a verse that is mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. St. John is telling us, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One. A little bit earlier today, we participated in one of the church sacraments, which is the holy anointing, or the anointing for the sick. And the church prepares this sacrament for us to partake together on this particular day for several reasons. One of them being that if anyone is ill or sick before the Holy Week, there will not be any prayers to care for individual sicknesses during the Holy Week, just like we will participate in a general funeral during or after the Palm Sunday service, because we will not focus on any individual departure during the Holy Week. So the church again has a general service for anyone who is sick with any various disease to come to church, or the church could go to them to be anointed with the holy oil. Also to ask God for healing of any ailment, whether it be physical, emotional, psychological. And this sacrament is to complement another church sacrament, which is mainly for the spiritual healing of the parishioners of the congregation, which is the sacrament of repentance and confession. So these two sacraments together combine for a fuller human being. God wants us to be made well both inside and outside. And no way that God only wants us to care about our spirit, but He has created the body and He has made it a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He wants it to be whole as well. Let me share with you a wonderful story that His Grace Bishop Antonius Moros told us as I accompanied some of the youth in 2003 to South Africa. We have a Coptic mission in South Africa, and His Grace Bishop Antonius Moros is the leading bishop in this area. He told us that some of the native Africans have come to the church and believed and were baptized. And then one day, in parts of Africa, there are countries, but also they still are under tribes. Like you find tribes, and then every tribe has a leader. And he would be the most prominent or respectful person in this tribe. A leader of one of the largest tribes in just outside of Johannesburg got sick. And one of his people who were part of his tribe told him, there is a sacrament in the Coptic Orthodox Church called the anointing of the sick. And he was ill, his leg was getting gangrene, and it was just about to be amputated. So he said, why not? Being, the bishop could come or the priest could come, what are we losing? He has tried every medicine and he tried every physician, and it was just about to be amputated, and it was going to be gone in a matter of days. So that person went to His Grace and he told him, the leader of our tribe has a situation as such, and he's asking for you to come and pray for him. His Grace said that I will do for him this sacrament that we have partaken of today, and we'll see for God's will, we'll pray for God's will. And he went to him and he prayed to him a day after day, and then a huge miracle happened that this man was healed, and the gangrene went away, and he was rejoicing in the Lord. And he started speaking to all his people and witnessing and having a testimony that indeed God has done an amazing miracle through this sacrament of the Holy Church. And many of the tribals or the people who lived in this tribe, of course, as you know, the Coptic Orthodox Church is the first church in Africa, or we call it the mother of all the churches in Africa. And they were so proud because Mark the Apostle is African, and the Coptic Church was preached by St. Mark. So many of the African natives there in South Africa and Kenya and in so many other countries started to accept the Coptic Orthodox faith as being the original faith of the Christians from the first century, undefiled and unchanged, the most pure faith. So when they knew about this, so many of them were baptized and joined the Coptic Church. And he lived as a Copt until the day he died. One of the amazing things that he said that he, in Africa, when a noble person passes away, they don't have the funeral in a day or 2 days. They have it after a month or sometimes after 2 months. So they wait until the word gets around and all the surrounding tribes know about the passing away of this person. Of course, this is pre-computer and email and technology and all of these things. But they are still simple people. And so when he died, he wanted to make sure that His Grace Bishop Antonius Maras would do the funeral for him, and his son would witness to the great miracle. So many months or years later, I'm not sure, when he did pass away, he called the bishop and he did his funeral. And the bishop was saying there were literally tens of thousands of people there, maybe 10,000, 12,000. Thousands of people gathered at his funeral, and they all heard about the church and its sacraments, and many had accepted the faith. So this is our faith and our belief concerning the church sacraments. They are life-giving and healing for the soul, the spirit, the body, and the mind, because God wants us to be whole individuals. Let us go back to the basics to ask ourselves, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is divided, or is the root of the word sacrament, part is Latin and part is Greek. Sacer means holy, sacred. And ment comes from the Greek word mysterion or mystery. So sacrament combined together is a secret, something which is holy that is not completely revealed. A saying was attributed to Saint Augustine, who defined a sacrament as an outward visible sign containing or yielding an inward invisible grace. So something that we can touch and see and feel as human beings. God gave us the body, something that is physical. But there is much bigger understanding grace being conveyed to the people who participate in this sacrament. In the Orthodox Church, really, if you want to be facetious a little bit, we don't really use the word sacrament, but we use more the word mystery, because it's coming from the Greek word. So mystery, again, is a secret rite. Something, again, which has both the visible sign and the invisible grace. What about this anointing from the Holy One? Looking back at the Old Testament, God, in His wisdom, has commanded that Aaron and his children would be consecrated using oil. Again, because through this oil, this visible sign, God is going to convey to them an invisible grace. In Exodus 29, starting from verse 4, the scriptures reads the following. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head, and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons, and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hat on them. The priesthood shall be there for a perpetual statute, so you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. So, the first use here, or the use of oil here, was used to consecrate Aaron and his children. That means they are no longer belonging to the world, they are no longer dependent on the world, but they are fully dependent on God because they have been consecrated. And the use of the holy oil was the sign of this. Also, there was a holy anointing that was mentioned in the chapter that followed this one in Exodus 30, verses 22 to 33. Here is what the Lord said. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels. And you see how accurate God is in His command of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and the hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So what is this oil going to do? He's going to consecrate all the utensils and the altar. So not only the people are consecrated with the oil, but also all the utensils. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand, its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. So again, the person who is going to be anointed from this oil are the people who are consecrated for God. So the Gentiles, anyone from outside the assembly, cannot be anointed. And this is why we say if someone is not baptized in the church, will not be anointed with this holy oil. Again, there is the anointing of the chrisma oil, which we receive after our baptism. And then there is also the anointing which we have received today, as we followed the Lord's commandment, if anyone is sick amongst you, let them call for the priests of the church, and they will pray for them, anoint them with holy oil. If they have done any sin, it will be forgiven. If they are sick with any various diseases, they shall be healed. And one of the marks of the Orthodox priest is that whenever you go and you say, I'm not feeling well, I'm going to pray for me, the first thing he will take out of his pocket is the little oil bottle, because again, this is in fulfillment of the command of St. James. If anyone is sick amongst you, you'll call the priest and they will anoint him. So always when we come for asking for healing, for help, for aid in general, the priest will anoint us with the holy oil. David the prophet remembered what happened with Aaron and all his sons in Psalm 133 when he said, behold how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. So we see so many blessings of the anointing now. We see a sign of consecration, a sign of healing, a sign of blessing, a sign of life forevermore. 1 Samuel 16:11-3, we see the story of anointing David as king, as Samuel went to Jesse and he said to him, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, he's speaking about David, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So again, another blessing here is receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit through the anointing. And this is what happens to us in the sacrament which we receive after our baptism of chrismation. The word chrisma, Christ, the same root word here, is meaning to be anointed. The chrisma oil, or the one who is anointed, is in reference to Christ our Lord, or also those who were prophets and priests and kings were anointed with the holy oil, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who in turn now will guide their lives. And finally, in 2 Kings, we read chapter 9, Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophet and said to him, get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to the inner room. Then take the flask of oil, pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Again, we see God's blessings in all of the Old Testament through the anointing of the holy oil. What about in the New Testament? Some people will say, but these are just practices of the Old Testament. No, they are not. Even the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to go, and when they heal the people, they would anoint them with the holy oil. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew 10 verse 8 said, heal the sick and cleanse the leper. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, heal the sick who are there. Luke 10, 8 to 9. But we know from Mark 6, 13 something which is really amazing. Some people pass over it without really noticing it. It says, anointed with oil, he's speaking about the disciples, they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. They anointed with oil many who were sick and they healed them. So again, we see the practice, this practice, even in the New Testament. And James 5, 14 to 16, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders or the priests of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So again, the church fathers tell us here that in this verse we combine two sacraments. Sacraments of healing of the body, the psyche, and emotionally, okay, all of them together in this sacrament that we participate. And then confessing to one another, referring again to confession to, just like he said, when we call the priest to anoint us with oil, again when he said confessing to our trespasses to one another, referring to the priest, so again, the confession of faith will heal the spirit. Some people ask the important questions. We come to church, we believe, and we are anointed, but we are not healed. Why is that? Is it the problem in me, or the problem is in the sacrament? We know that the problem is not in the sacrament, of course. But, and most of the time, or many of the times, the problem is not in me as well. But this is God's will. Because when we come in the presence of God, we as a church pray to Him and ask Him for His will. If it is your will for this person to be healed, to do a miracle, we appreciate it and we will be forever grateful. But also, Lord, if it is not your will to heal me or this individual or this person, let it be your will, because you see the whole picture. You see the entire picture and we just see part of it. And nothing will separate us from our love to you. We will always be faithful to you, whether in health or in sickness, whether in need or in want or in abundance, whatever it is, we submit to your will and we thank you, we praise you, and we love you no matter what the situation is. Sometimes it is true that God will not heal due to our own unbelief, because he said in Matthew 13:58 that he entered into a town and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. But also we know for sure that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. As he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we need to understand that this mystery or a sacrament that we dedicate for God and we ask for his mercies and compassion. We pray not just for ourselves, but we pray for others. The physical healing is important, but most importantly, it is the spiritual healing that we need. And if we come to church and at least we receive the spiritual enlightenment and healing, and we have become brand new people who are looking now at our relationship with God in a brand new way, then God would have done such a great miracle in our lives. My beloved St. John again tells us, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now that our eyes have been enlightened and our hearts have started to see once more, we will approach our religion, our faith, in a brand new way, asking God for healing of our spirit, soul, and body. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.